Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Pirkei Dei. This week, Rabbi David Levenkreuz discusses Pirkei Dei. Rabbi David Levenkreuz is a senior member of the Pardes faculty and also is the director of special projects for Pardes. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry. A few years ago, I did a walk for charity. For cancer charities, I collected money, I had people sponsor me, I had people walk together with me. I did the work, I enjoyed it very, very much. And the money was given into the different places, and yet it took me an entire year. It was on a Thanksgiving, and it took me till the next Thanksgiving to actually write to people, thank them, give them a report back, send pictures. I'm not quite sure why it took me so long, but there was certainly a feeling that until I'd written the final letter, it hadn't been finished. In this week's parasha, Pirkei Dei, we read about the completion of the tabernacle, and I'd like to speak about finishing things, completing things today. But the first text I'm going to use is not a text from this week's parasha, but from an earlier parasha. In Shmot 13, we read that when they left Egypt, when Am Yisrael left Egypt, Vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef imo, Moshe took Joseph's remains with him, and the Torah reminds us, Joseph had bound the Israelites by an oath, God will grant you special providence, and you must then bring my remains out of here with you. Pekod yifkod Elohim etchem ve'eletim et atzmotai mizeh etchem. There's a reminder. Joseph said, I don't want to be buried in Egypt. I want to be buried in Eretz Israel. And Moshe had so much else to do. Nevertheless, remembers to take Joseph's bones. And yet, surprisingly, in Yoshua, in the book of Joshua, it says, Ve'et atzmotov, et atzmot Yosef, asher helu b'nei Yisrael v'mitzrayim, the bones of Joseph, which the Israelites had brought up out of Egypt, nothing mention of Moses, were buried at Shem in the piece of ground which Jacob had bought. Asher kana Yaakov. We have a mention of Yaakov. We have a mention of Yosef. We have a mention of Yisrael. Not a mention of Moses. Poor Moses, he so often seems to be left out. He didn't get to Eretz Yisrael, the parashiyot, that his name is left out. Again, another example of Moshe doing something and yet not getting the credit. And it's interesting, Rashi, on Dvarim 8.1, explains what is going on over here. Why is it that Shmot 13.19 clearly said that it was Moses who took Joseph's remains, and yet in the book of Joshua, this is ignored? Dvarim 8.1 reads, every commandment that I command you this day you shall do. Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha yom tishmarun lasot. Leman tichyum, that you may live, urevitem, ubatem, v'yarashtem et aretz, that you shall multiply and possess and own the land that God gave us, asher nishba Adonai la'avoteichem, in order that you shall possess the land that God swore to your fathers. And Rashi commenting on the pasuk, when it says, the whole of the commandment you shall keep, what does it mean when it says, kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha, the whole of the commandment you can keep? Our translation said every, but it can also be read as the whole. Rashi says, if you have started a mitzvah, finish it, because it is attributed only to the one who completes it. In other words, if you do a mitzvah, it doesn't matter how much I might have done to do with a mitzvah. If somebody else completes it, they the one who gets the mitzvah. And then it quotes our pasuk in Yoshua and asks the question that I'm sure you and I are asking. But did not Moses alone occupy himself with them to bring them up? However, since he did not complete the mitzvah, Ele lefi shelo hispik legomra, he didn't finish it. And the children of Israel did, v'gamru ha-Yisrael, nikret al-shmam. The mitzvah is a credit to the name. This is based on the Tanchuma, a midrashic work, which says that if you do a mitzvah, the person who finishes the mitzvah, they're the one who gets the mitzvah. So I might spend the whole day making dough for chalot. If somebody else burns, there's a mitzvah to burn a little piece of challah, that's the one who gets the mitzvah. And many, many other mitzvot could be completely done by somebody else, but the final person who finishes it, maybe writing a Sefer Torah would be like this, that the person who actually finishes gets the mitzvah. Many, many mitzvot, you can imagine people working very, very hard, but the person who finishes it, that's the person who gets the mitzvah. And we have a similar law when it comes to Shabbat. The Chaya Adam, a halachic work, says, Kol ha'oseh devar she'al yedei zeh nigmar ha'melacha. Anybody who does something on the Shabbat that completes it, chayav mikom makeh bepatish, is forbidden because of the final hammer blow. One of the 39 prohibitions on Shabbat is to do the final hammer blow. And again, over here, we see a person going to do all different things that are prohibited on Shabbat. If you do the final hammer blow, the sin is yours. Something that makes something complete, then the sin is yours. So we have a positive example, and we have a negative example of whoever does the final touch is the one who is in one case rewarded and in another case held culpable. But why? What's going on? What is the Torah trying to teach us about the value of completion? For this, we need to go to this week's parsha, when the tabernacle is completed, and we read in Shmot 39:33, Vayivu et ha-mishkan el Moshe el ha-ohel. They brought the tabernacle to Moshe, they brought the tent, and its furnishing, and its clasp, and its planks, and its bars, and its pillars, and its sockets. It feels a little bit like an IKEA pack that somebody has given. They bring the entire IKEA pack to Moshe, and it says in Shmot 40:17, Vayi b'chodesh ha-rishon b'shana shenit b'echad l'chodesh, hukam ha-mishkan. In the first month of the second year of the Exodus, the tabernacle was set up. It is set in the passive as if it just happened. Yet the next pasuk says, Vayikach Moshe et ha-mishkan, Moshe said, took the tabernacle, Vayiten et navne yosem et krashav, Vayiten et brechav, Vayikam et amudav. He puts the beams and he fastens them together and he sets up the pillars. We have a problem. The first one speaks about it passively. It was set up. The second one says that Moshe did it himself. The problem, of course, is how, and I think this is the problem that the tension between these two psukim is dealing with, is how could Moshe have set it up if it was so heavy? This was not an easy thing to do. And Rashi, again, comes to save us and to explain it to us. Rashi says, Now they brought the Mishkan to Moshe because they could not set it up. Since Moshe had done no work in the tabernacle, and this we see from the Pasuk, when they bring it to him, it seems like they were busy doing it, and then they didn't bring it to the leader. Since Moshe had done no work in the tabernacle, the Holy One left for Moshe the task of setting it up, because no human being could set it up by himself because of the heaviness of the planks, and no human was strong enough to put them up, but Moshe was able to. Moses said before the Holy One, How is it possible for a human being to set up the tabernacle? God replied, You work with your hand. God says you do it. Moshe appeared to be setting it up, and it arose by itself. Nireka mekimo, v'hu niskaf v'kam me'elav. That is the meaning of the tabernacle was set up. It was set up by itself. Rashi gives a very beautiful idea over here, and he says that even though Moshe looked as if he was setting up, it set it up by himself, by itself. And I think there are two lessons we can learn from it. One is, if a project is really valuable, it will come to its completion. It will create a natural dynamic of its own that will lead to its completion. But we cannot sit back and expect it to happen. Even though a miracle happened and this very, very heavy tabernacle set itself up, Moshe had to still be involved. He still had to pull the beams and the planks up. We cannot just sit and wait for something to happen. We have to be involved in the process as well. So I think it says something very, very important about projects and projects that get finished. The project that gets finished is very often a project of worth that creates its own dynamic, but we still need to be involved. But I think there's something else going on over here. And that is that until every part of the tabernacle was in place, it wasn't a Mishkan yet. It was just an IKEA pack. It had no holiness. It might have been made for holiness. It might have been special. Only when it is put together, only then does the Mishkan become the Mishkan. And the final realization belongs to Moshe. So with Makeba Patish, the halachic ruling, that when I complete it, I allow it to be used. Until it is completed, it could be really, really beautiful. But, you know, if the trousers pants are hooked together and I haven't cut them yet, separate, with a little thread joining them, I cannot wear the pair of trousers. So too with the bones of Yosef. It was wonderful, wonderful that Moshe brought them out. But not until these bones were actually buried was the mitzvah actually done. And I think it was very fascinating what happened with me and the walk that I did. I can't say why it happened. Life took over in the year, but I never ever wrote that final letter. One day I sat down, I finally wrote the final letter, I sent it off, and it's absolutely amazing. In the next few days, I made some wise decisions. In the next few days, I fixed up certain relationships that had been broken. In the next few days, I was able to enjoy and do things that I hadn't done before. And I think there's something even deeper than all of this, even deeper than the value of a project that finishes itself, even deeper than our involvement, even deeper than until we finish something, it doesn't exist. And that is that when we finish something, very, very often, only when we finish something, only when we complete it, only when there's that feeling of wholeness, are we truly able to reap its benefits. May we all finish lots and lots of project and reap lots and lots of benefits. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.